putting on a show here.
Smith in the air and takes the catch. It's a beauty. What a game of cricket.
Yeah, gents. Hey, nice to be alongside you guys today. It's about time that Herschel Gibbs jumped on board. Yeah, welcome to the family. Welcome to Wake Up and Smell the Cricket, the podcast. And we're going to have a bit of fun today. So, Hersh, I'm going to start with you. What's happening?
The opening batsman. Oh, well. Little bit of this, little bit of that, you know, as the saying goes. But I'd like to be a bit more busy these days. But this hasn't worked out that way. But lovely to be part of the team and hopefully can bring some, not value to the Ront, because the Ront's being pretty weak. But value to the program and value to the channel, you know, the channel of champions. So it's lovely to be on board.
Yeah, absolutely. Vern, you had a nice close look at Baz Ball the other day. They weren't Baz Balling it out there, were they?
Yeah, I actually hope they keep playing that way. It will give me more days in the golf course. So yeah, all for Baz Ball.
Ash, do you like the idea behind Baz Ball or do you like even more how South Africa crushed that idea in that first test match?
Hi, Latriso, and yeah, good to join the boys on the chat. Listen, I love the idea of how much confusion Baz Ball is causing in the minds of that English batsman. So that's what I'm enjoying. obviously our new pace attack. We just keep turning them out here in South Africa. We went from the Donald and Pollock era, and then Tini and Steyn and Morkel, the Vern, and now we just keep coming with our paces. We just keep coming. It was an unbelievable performance.
And you know, the funny thing is, like, the one thing that Dean said before that test, he said, you know what, I want to see them do it against our attack. And some people have drummed them up the wrong way. It's almost like, who does South Africa think they are? But at the end of the day, Hersh, you know, the proof was in the pudding. The boys were unbelievable with the ball.
Yeah, and I always, I like the way that, you know, the guys bowled with the right intensity. You know, they kept at them from ball one. They obviously utilised the over conditions, you know, at Lord's. And I think obviously Vernon Ash will tell you that overhead conditions play a big part there. You know, I was thinking, you know, that England obviously will come out with this Baz Ball, you know, sort of terminology. And you can play like that, you know, when the weather is good. They've had a very dry season. You know, they've got one or two players that can fire like that. And New Zealand attack, you know, got nothing compared to ours. Even in that, the proof of the pudding was in that second innings where, you know, the sun came out, the overhead conditions were great. And they couldn't do anything. That put an end to the Baz Ball sort of terminology right then and there for me. And I think I like the way the guys kept their intensity throughout the, it was only two days. But, you know, and I think it was great because we've got variety from a batsman's point of view. If you look at, obviously, if you break it down, Anas is, you know, bowling 150. You still got KG that's early 140s, you know, Lungi also a bit of shape, and then got Marco Jansen as well. So if you want to say Jansen, well, let's say I'll go with Jansen for now. So, you know, from a batsman's point of view, you're getting tested in all the right ways. And I won't also forget, you know, Keshav. So from all the angles, from a bowling perspective, you know, the batsmen are getting tested, which is ultimately your true test of your batting ability. So, I think we've got the complete attack. And if the boys can keep with their right intensity like they did, they started off in, you know, the first test, then we can put these, you know, the English batters under serious pressure.
Just to follow on to that point, I mean, being there live and actually interacting and watching the boys, I mean, you can see the boys were out to make a statement. That first spell of KG, I mean, you know, you can see when a guy's running in. And I mean, yeah, it was from ball, you know, from ball one, you know, the guys were looking to make a statement. But I think also, you know, it's all fair and well talk about, you know, baseball. I'd like to go a little bit deeper than that and actually challenge, you know, what does it actually mean? Now, I mean, in the last 2 or 3 days, you know, just watching, you know, the British media, the way Stokes, the way McCallum has dressed the media, you know, and saying that, you know, yeah, they won't change the way that they play. I mean, you've got two top order batsmen sitting on the other side of this. And I think a great deal of what, you know, what one do. So for me, with the new ball, the importance was always to get guys to play. Now, if your mindset is to keep playing at that new ball, I'd like to believe that, you know, test cricket is still a matter of getting through that new ball, respecting that new ball, and ultimately, you know, get bowlers into the second and third spells. And I think if you look at the way South Africa has batted, you know, those guys were tired by their third spells. And, you know, I mean, although it was our tail enders at the back end there, but they could really, you know, put them to the short. So I'd still like to believe that, you know, there is still a great deal of respect that has to be shown towards a new ball. Yes, conditions in the first morning was probably a little bit in favour of the bowlers. But then one can also argue on day three, you know, when they had to come and bat again, when it was, you know, bright sunshine, and I'd like to believe the wicket was a bit better. You know, do you then go in with the same sort of mindset? So, yeah, I mean, they probably have a lot more questions to answer than, you know, than answers available to them. So I suppose you can also play that way when you're playing against bowlers bowling 130+. I mean, like you know, like Hurst has alluded to, I mean, you were watching Anrich, probably the first two overs in both these spells, you know, he was a little bit hesitant. And, you know, I spoke to him in the morning as well. He said to me, he was quite nervous in letting the ball go. But once the guy got going, I mean, he was bowling thunderbolts. You could see, you know, all of those guys, you know, you could just sense that they were so uncomfortable facing that sort of pace. And obviously, when KG gets it right as well, I mean, he was bowling 140+ in that first spell. So there's no way to hide. You know, let me just put it to you that way. And if you think that you're going to come and score a soft 40 or soft 50 to get yourself going, I don't think you're going to get that. And I think also a part of the strategy and planning was to have one of those guys ready. So when a Root walks in, when a Bairstow walks in, when a Stokes walks in. So I think from a planning point of view, they've planned it well as well. But listen, guys, those guys were bowling absolute heat.
No substitute for pace, Ashwell. It makes you uncomfortable, eh? Bit of heat past the nose, it's never nice, eh?
it's not. And I think that's why for test cricket, you know. The thing is that you have people like Vernon who's sitting here, you have people like Sean Pollock, Glenn McGrath, who hardly ever miss a spot. They bowl the ball where they want to. It's always asking a certain question, and that question is a technical question. Do you know where your off stump is? Can you play a four defense? Are you going to get your pad in front of your back? Because if you do, you're going to be out LBW. If you're not going to, are you going to play on the ball that starts fourth stump because it might nip back at the top of off, or it might hold its line and you get a nick off? So you kind of have those kind of challenges, and that's a test. And then you got these guys who are operating like Anrich, you know, KG can get it up there. Dale Steyn could get it up there back in the day, 145+, you know, and sometimes 150+. And that, those type of guys generally aren't as consistent as a Dale, as a Vernon Philander or Pollock. They're not going to hit on the sixpence all the time, but they're going to ask some different questions, and they're going to be questions of do you have a ticket for this business? You know what I'm saying? So your technique is getting challenged. Then the other challenge is your ticket. Do you have the art for this business? Do you have the fight? Do you have the stomach for this business? And the South African attack is asking all those questions like Vernon just said there now. They're asking all those questions, and then have the final piece of the puzzle, Keshav, who is, you know, complements at attack. He can get you out in the spinning conditions. He got those two wickets without the ball spinning because he's so tight on the line of the stumps where he delivers from that if you miss the ball, it's probably sliding into your middle and leg stump so he can get you out LBW. And then when it starts spinning, he becomes dangerous there as well. So it's an all-round bowling attack. And the thing is, it's test cricket at its very best. And this is going to be a formidable bowling attack for some time to come. You know, and like I said before, sometimes it's like mouth-watering stuff, you know. When you had Vernon, Dale, KG, and Mone Morkel. I don't think they got the opportunity to play that often in the same team. But you think of that type of thing, and it's all different guy. It just keeps coming at you. It just keeps coming at you. So again, now we've coming into another era where we have that kind of attack. You can say we don't know how many times or how often all of them are going to be fit to play at the same time. But when they do play at the same time, it's exciting. You know, it's an exciting time as far as our bowling attack is concerned.
Yeah, can I just come in there quickly? Also, with regards to England, I mean, they haven't had an opening pair for years now. You know, which means, you know, you got Ollie Pope coming in at three. Yes, I think he actually played quite nicely. I mean, he was the most sure out of all the English batters. But they find themselves two down in no time, which puts Joe Root, Bairstow, Stokes all under pressure anyway. So it's a bit rich coming from them and almost disrespecting, you know, even guys like ourselves, who's got the proper attack now, to say that they were going to keep the same approach. Because, I mean, I know that positivity that I always played with. You still got to respect Test cricket, you know. And the first hour or so in Test cricket, anybody will tell you, it still belongs to the bowlers. But if they don't have the batsmen to stand up for it, then they're going to find themselves wanting. And they did. I think it was a big wake-up call for them now. And it will be very interesting, you know, going forward to see the approach. Because, I mean, your opening batter set the tone for the innings. And if you can't find any quality opening batters, where is the tone going to come from? You can't just rely on Pope, Root, Bairstow and Stokes. That's four batters. What happens, you know, to the other two?
Well, rumor has it, they some England scouts have been in South Africa looking for fresh talent. It's a story to keep an eye on.
tell them to keep looking, yeah.
But I tell you what, one of the really interesting things, you know, when we speak of South Africa, I mean, I think everyone is quite happy with our bowling and our bowling reserves. There is still a slight concern with that middle order, you know, with the Markland coming now at four, Rickleton, many felt maybe should have got a run. But yeah, I want to find out from you guys, you know, would you potentially look at making any changes in that second test, especially with the batters that are sitting out at the moment, Zondo, Rickleton, or winning team stays as it is?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see a change before the second test. And to be quite honest with you, just listening around at the moment, they're probably going to go all the grass off at Manchester because they want to try and negate, you know, our paces. So I think, yeah, then you bring, yeah, probably the potential of a second spin into play. So I think if it's going to be a swap, it will probably be one of the seamers for an extra spinner. Then they'll probably look at leaving Jansen out and bring maybe Simon Armour back in. But I think, you know, this team is just well covered in terms of options, to be quite honest with you, Fisa. I don't think they're going to leave anyone in their top order out now. I think, you know, they've obviously tried. And also, I think Aiden gives you that option of an extra spinner in the team, you know, should they go all the grass off. So, yeah, I mean, it's difficult to say at this moment in time, but yeah, we'll have to see when we get up there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, I mean, there's so many different dynamics and options they can play. You know, for me, they'll probably keep a Jansen because he gives you something in terms of runs lower down the order. Maybe Angidi misses out because you want the heat of Nokia. But you know what? Whenever any match starts and South Africa's involved, there's always a meltdown on social media because a star, this person should be playing. Ah, that person should be playing. Ash, it's a tough job that, you know, picking and trying to get a team that can win you games, and more importantly, as opposed to a team that of everyone's favorites, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a very big point. And I think we have to give a lot of credit to Vic Nambutang, Mark Boucher, and whoever was assisting Boucher on that side, selecting the team. Maybe Algar will be part of that, for getting it spot on in the first test. Because it would have been hard. It would have been a tough decision to leave Simon Armour out to begin with, but I just cannot see Lord being a two-spinning test match pitch. And to be honest with Old Trafford, if they prepare a traditional pitch at Old Trafford, I see the same team playing, but like Vern is saying, they could be cutting all the grass off because they're concerned about our pace attack. Who then leaves, stays out of the bowlers? Jansen, I like Jansen because he brings variety. He's tall, left arm, and he swings the ball in. And he can bat, as you just said a few minutes ago. So for me, I like Jansen. If they're going to bring Armour in to and because they're reading the conditions to be helpful for spin, I would probably lean towards Ngidi, not because he did anything wrong in the pitch, but in the past he has struggled to play back-to-back test matches. So if he sets out this one, he can come back in the third one, where at Oval they probably won't need two spinners. And for me, he's, like I said, with back-to-back test matches in the past, he struggled. But from looking from a long way away here in South Africa, and I'm expecting a traditional pitch in Manchester, Old Trafford, I would just play the same team. Like Vernon says, if you play the same team with Markram, or what the point about the batting is, if you're good enough to play in the first test and you only got one innings in that test match, you can't expect to change it after one innings. You've got to give the guy another chance. Whoever that is that you're thinking about leaving out, whether you're thinking about leaving out a Markram, a Rassie, or whoever you're thinking about leaving out, you can't give a batsman one innings and then want to change it up. So the same batting lineup plays for me, and it's whether you bring in an extra spinner or one of the seamers. So that's where I'm sitting.
If you look at the way, I mean, you look KG and Lungi bowled. From a batsman's perspective, KG swung the ball away. Lungi swung the ball away. I would have opened with Jansen if he's going to bring the ball back in, back into the batsman. But if anyone would sit out, if they are thinking of another spinner, then I'd just do a Harmer for Lungi. You could easily open with Jansen. I'm just thinking how you want to. You've got the new rock in your hand and you want to test the batters completely. You got to have one guy bringing a ball into the batter and the other one taking it away. It's a perfect setup. You want to be tested completely. That's how you get tested, rather than two bowlers shaping the ball away consistently. I'd rather have one coming in, attacking the stumps, and the other one going away. That makes sense for me.
Vern, share the same sentiments?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, it's hard to find fault, after this first test, because I think all the guys bowled extremely well. Obviously, when you play at Lords, there's also the slope to take into consideration. And I think, it was a big help, especially on the first day. But I think the guys are clinical, Fiso, to be quite honest with you. I mean, if it was up to me, if conditions are not, drastically going to change up there, I'd probably be tempted to play play the same squad. Because, it leaves so much question marks, with the opposition, because it's not as if one bowler travelled, in the test match. I mean, all the guys were, right on it, asking the right questions, bowling with the right intensity. So from an opposition point of view, you almost sit back and ask yourself, you almost want to change. You almost, are open to that sort of idea, because, you're opening up one door sort of thing. But I think for me, depending on conditions, I'd probably be likely to keep the same team.
Does anybody know what the forecast is? Other than at the Theatre of Dreams tonight.
But rumor has it is going to be cloudy and there. We're going to be a lot of gloom and doom.
There is a bit of rain coming in this week. So I can't foresee the overheads. And I suppose, when you play in England, I mean, that we could look like an absolute belter at Lords until, day one. I was there the day before. Beautiful sunshine. It looked, like a nice white tinge to it. Almost looked like a one-day wicket. And then, of course, we all know, we've all played over here before.
Yeah.
Once the clouds move in, it becomes a completely different story. So, I don't think there was massive issues with the actual wicket. But, like we know in England, you look up and not down. So, we'll see when we get up there.
Correct.
Interesting topic. With regards to batting, right? A lot of people obviously have made a bit of noise with regards to the fact that maybe we're not scoring enough hundreds in our top six. If we keep winning, does that matter? and this is specifically to our two batters here, our one opener, our one middle order general. What do you guys think with regards to that? You know, should we continue to be concerned if we're not putting up the numbers that we perhaps want and should?
So,
you can start there.
My take on that, Tiso, is that as long as you're winning, that's the most important thing. Okay, so we won the game. There are certain concerns about the fact that we're not scoring enough hundreds. But we won the game. But we have to say to ourselves, yes, we won the game, but did we want to be in Test match cricket? And I think the answer is quite emphatic. We want to be back at the top of that ladder. Where we know we can be, that's the standards that we set for ourselves in South African cricket. We want to mix it with the big boys. And maybe even if we can't mix it with the big boys in the boardrooms, and there's all this chat about the top three or the big three in cricket that's ruling the money and where all the tournaments are going and all of that type of stuff. If we can't mix it in the boardroom, that's fine. But as South African cricket on the ground, where all of us are concerned here, all these guys on the screen, we want to be competitive on the ground. That's where we want to be, mixing it with the best in the world. And to be mixing it with the best in the world there, and to get our ranking back up to number one in the world, now that we're winning matches, we're going to have to add more centuries in the batting lineup to become a more consistent team, to get us back up to number one in the world. You just feel that if there isn't going to be that that consistency where out of the top six, you're almost guaranteed where two of them are going to make 100 in the first innings. You got to get to that position to build that consistency, to get your team back up to number one in the world. Otherwise, you know, we are always going to have the bowling attack, and especially with this bowling attack we have now, we're going to have the firepower to get people out. But it still can be like a 50-50 because they can blow us back out again. You understand what I'm saying? Then they blow us back out again if you're up against a good bowling lineup. So it's like we blow them out, they blow us out, and then it's like a 50-50 when it comes to the result of the game. You want to get a little bit more consistency in the batting lineup.
I think I agree completely with Ashley. I think there are a lot of questions. I think if you look at how much one-day cricket we play, sometimes you got to ask the question, you know, if the guys actually want it badly enough to actually do the donkey work, basically, in test cricket and actually get the big hundreds. I think obviously a few of them haven't played a lot of test cricket, but the ones that have been there for a while, we've got to ask the question, why aren't they? I'm not one that's sort of easily pleased, but yes, we can keep saying as long as we're winning, but at the end of the day, from a batsman and the sort of legacy you want to leave, and you look at obviously the past players as to how many hundreds of batters have got. You know, you actually would like to be, not in saying the same discussion, but more or less you want to leave your mark one day and say, well, you know, I've got a certain amount of hundreds, et cetera, et cetera. And basically that is how you're judged, you know, by your peers, both present and past, you know, as to the quality of your, or basically of your craftsmanship. Why they aren't getting the hundreds, I'm not sure. But, you know, if we don't play enough test cricket, because as we'll tell you, scoring hundreds is habit. You know, you get into a habit of scoring hundreds. And the question must be, not as long as we keep winning, it's fine. That's why aren't we? You know, are they hungry enough to want to do the hundreds, do the hard yards and get the hundreds? There are those sort of questions that need to be asked. You know, we can't just keep on relying on your bowlers. And I don't know. I mean, there might be a couple of new faces that are really, really hungry. I mean, I'll take an example, like Evia, for example. His first Aussie record, he's got 1,100s in almost 180 innings. So why would we think that he consistently maybe score hundreds at international level? It's taking that step up and wanting it a bit more, I think, you know, doing the hard yards against the ball that's flying around your ears at whatever, you know, 150 Ks. it's not a, you know, it's not a small boys, small man sort of environment. You know, you got to stand up and be delivered, you know, and deliver when it really counts, you know. And yeah, I mean, it's a difficult one to answer, but you know, there are a couple of questions that say, well, you know, the guys have got to step up and get the hundreds. I mean, we can't just keep on relying on the bowlers for us to basically win our games. The batter as a collective, as a group, definitely need to score more hundreds. And why they not, that needs to be answered. And the only way to answer that is actually just to go out there and make the runs. For me, that's as simple as it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting just, you know, hearing from you guys with regards to, from a mentality point of view, how you get stuck in. And I mean, Herschel spoke a little bit earlier on with regards to, I guess, are we playing enough test cricket? Are the guys being tested enough at that particular level? It doesn't help when, you know, more recently we've seen that Future Tours program and you barely have test cricket for South Africa. I know it'll frustrate all three of you who were so good in that particular format. So, yeah, I don't know who wants to start it out with regards to that, but Future Tours program, you know, these two-match test series, you know, it kind of feels like the series is just starting and it's over. You know what I mean?
Absolutely crazy. I think I'll start it off. I mean, you come to a test match at Lord's here and you get to understand, you know, what it really is and what it really means to, you know, to play this format. I mean, that should be the pinnacle of cricket. You know, I think all of us have been nagging the last little while about guys playing more test cricket. So to allocate a team that is now potentially probably going to be amongst the top three for the next couple of years to come, to allocate them, you know, that sort of amount of test matches is absolutely ridiculous. And I think from a South African context, you know, it is something that we all want to see, you know, countries around the world take pride in. But I think it has to start with the ICC. They will have to say, you know what, guys, there's a fair amount of allocation of test matches across the board to, I'd say, the top six teams. You know, you'd like to exclude, you know, I think they like to exclude, you know, the lesser teams. I mean, we all know India, England, Australia, you know, they do have the biggest say when it comes to the sort of thing. But I do feel if there is one or two test teams that is really giving them a run for their money, why should they not be included? And I'm a firm believer, if you amongst the top two, top three test match teams in the world for the next 2 year cycle, you should be, you know, in and amongst the bulk of the test matches when it comes as far as scheduling is concerned. I think it's also something that we as South Africans, we feel that, you know, maybe Adele Steyn could have probably played another 30, 40 test matches, you know, over the span of his career. And where would that have left him, you know, in terms of, you know, yeah, the world marker? Yeah, because we only play, I mean, 6 to 8 test matches a year. So, yeah, it's a massive concern as a South African. And like I said, you know, I'd like to see us play a lot more test cricket, obviously, with what we have and what we have been building over the last sort of 18 to 24 months.
If I can just jump in there, Fiso, and say that, you know, in terms of South Africa and our reintroduction into the international stage, I mean, ever since then, South Africa has been there and thereabouts. You look at these lists of fast bowlers that's been coming up over the last few days. We've seen on our screens all over the place. And the strike rates and the averages of bowlers. I mean, you get out of the top three bowlers to take their first 100 wickets under the average of 25 and with a strike rate better than 45. We have two of the three, you know, the Dale Steyn and KJ Rabada. And then you have another list where there's five people, 250 wickets, fastest 250 wickets kind of thing, and best strike rates. And we have three in that list, Dale Steyn, Rabada, Alan Donald. And then if you go into batting, you'll know it, like some of the greats of all time in the game, in the records, the individual records I'm talking about. Some of the world's greats in any era, you know. Vernon himself was fastest to 50-100 wickets in test match cricket in terms of matches. And you're talking about these guys. You're talking about Hashim Amlas, fastest to 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. Yes, that's a different format. Then you talk about AB de Villiers and Buff and all these guys, all these greats. And, you know, World Test Cricket and ICC and people that's sitting on the board there and just treating us almost like with disrespect. You know, I think our cricket deserves a little bit more respect than that. We might not have the power in the boardrooms. We might not have the, you know, the three of us sitting on this thing. Yeah, we're not privy to those kind of meetings, and we don't know what is being discussed at those meetings and why we are being treated like this by, you know, those who make the decisions. But I mean, let's forget about that a little bit and just look at the performances on the ground. And I made the example not so long ago of people coming here to play in our domestic T20 competitions when we had the Mzansi League, for instance. I was one of the coaches. You know, you get these overseas players and they come here and they think, oh, it's going to be a nice quick buck. I'm going to smash a few sixes, or I'm just going to bowl people out. And when they get here, they realize it's actually a little bit tougher than I thought it was going to be. You know, the cricket and the standard of the cricket is quite good. So we have the standard of the game. The standard of the game, because we have such a history, our cricket will always be good. And because we have systems, we have the school system, we have some clubs that's coming on for a long time, you know, close to 70, 80, 100 years. There's a lot of history and there's a lot of avenues where people come from to play this game. And it's not like fly-by-night type of... yes, we've had, you know, we've dropped our ranking a little bit in Test cricket, but that happens to everyone. You know, England is supposed to be the powerhouse and traditional Test match specialist, but where are they in Test match cricket at the moment? They also dwindling. I had three Test matches that they won back-to-back, but they, on this current Test championship, they were down the bottom. They get 15, 16 Test matches in a calendar year. You know, and like to Vernon's point there, where could Teji Rabada end up in the world rankings if he played 16 Test matches a year like Broad and Anderson? Well, we'll never know because we're not getting this, you know. And I think it's a little bit, I think it's unfair, you know, to our guys. But I think from our side, yeah, you know, there's and others obviously working in the game. There's a definite determination for Test match cricket in our country to remain kind of one of the priorities, you know, that it doesn't get just pushed to the side.
You know what? I mean, I was looking at a number here, you know, when we're speaking of the volume of Test cricket. I mean, Dean Elgar as well as Joe Root made their debut in the same year, but Dean Elgar's got 77 tests and Joe Root's got 122 tests. So, I mean, that just speaks volumes of how different it is for, I guess, that top three, quote unquote, compared to South Africa and perhaps the other teams. And it'll be frustrating, no doubt, for the guys, because I'm sure they'd want to play more.
And then there's only one solution then. It's just to keep winning. It's quite simple to rub it in their faces and say, look, they don't want to regard us in the top three. With, you know, then we just got to keep winning. We'll make it hard. I mean, it's not that we're making it hard for ourselves. I think we're obviously being unfairly treated, the amount of games that we've been allocated. But the only solution is to keep winning. That's as plain and simple. It's as, you know, as simple as that.
Hi, Vernon. It's Josh here. I'm sure there are so many great memories that you have from your career, but I wanted to know what you were thinking in that first test in 2011 when you bowled the Australian batting lineup out for 47.
To be quite honest with you, I didn't think I wanted to get off the park. No, I think, look, I mean, obviously being that far behind in the game, you look at possible scenarios, you look at, you know, what's going to bring you back into the game. I can tell you 47 was never on the radar. But I think, you know, we were chatting somewhere along the lines, if we can bowl him out between sort of 180, 200, you know, you then, get yourself back into the game. I suppose, you know, with such a lot of time left in the test match, you know, 400, yeah, I mean, it was going to be a tough ask. But, yeah, I mean, all things, you know, went according to plan. You know, got myself into a pretty good rhythm there. And then, yeah, one thing led to the next. I think we could have had him out at 21. They were 21 for 9 at one stage there, and there was a drop catch in the gully somewhere there. But, 47... Yeah, you need a lot of things to go your way. I can certainly tell you that for me, it was, you know, to start the innings with good intensity and, sort of, you know, I felt if we can have them five down early on, you know, you can, get yourself back into the test match. But, 47, we'll take that.
I hope it wasn't me. It was in the gully there.
I can't remember. It was that long ago. We forgive and forget. Ash.
Mr. Gibbs, congratulations on an amazing career. The 6-6s in the World Cup, we acknowledge that it wasn't the world's biggest ground and the world's best team, but at what stage of that over did you realize, hold on, this is on? I doubt it was after the first six, but is it the second, the third? And then secondly, which of those do you think would have been a six in any ground anywhere in the world? Which one did you absolutely clock?
I think, with regards to the sixes, I think most of them, except maybe, I think it was the fourth one, if I'm not mistaken. The third or fourth one, which I flat batted straight over the bowler's head. I think that wouldn't have been six on most grounds around the world. But apart from the rest, I think they should have qualified for. They were long enough, even though the ground wasn't the biggest. I think the third or the fourth one. Can't remember now. But when I knew it was on, it was basically, I think, about after the fourth one where he had a complete meltdown. I mean, remember he was a part-time bowler anyway, so there wasn't much that else he could offer after the fourth one. I think his mind was shot after that. So, I just basically, just decided, push comes to shove, I'm going to go for it, and that was it. Luckily for me, it came off. I might just add, I've hit sixes on most grounds around the world anyway, so not going to make a difference.
Yeah, I think we can wrap it up there, gents. Thank you for your time. I mean, incredible to chat to you guys about, this amazing sport that we love, and hopefully South Africa will keep us smiling and in good spirits, because, hey, if they come back, hey, they might drop our faces, but it's okay.
We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Like I said, as long as they keep that intensity, I can't see England with too many answers. I mean, they're only playing four specialist batters after all.
You fight, yeah?
There's one bra in the captain. He thinks he's playing in a six-a-side competition in Hong Kong the way he's going about his business.
Yeah, exactly. So,
thanks, Jess. I appreciate it.
Jess, thanks, Jess.
Yourself. Yes, so sure.
With the ultimate sports app from SuperSport, you can find whatever you're looking for, because we've got you covered.
Brilliant! Just brilliant!
And you can then watch it again and again. Whoa! Download the SuperSport app.